Balfours are for the game. We've got a special guest live in the studio, Rooch. We can't reveal yet why he's actually here, but we're allowed to talk to him about other things. He is TV and basketball royalty.
And Sandful.
And Sandful, yes, he'll be doing the game of the week, Eagles and Norwood. John Casey. Case, great to have you in here.
Thanks, Kimbo. Rooch, great to be here. John. Watch how it all unfolds in real life. It's exciting to look at.
Who's going to coach GWS?
You can
Scotty
be on
Burns.
The
spot. Well done.
Oh,
well
he's
done.
Jumped on it. He's
well
jumped
done.
On it.
Well done. Where's Alistair Clarkson going?
Gee, Clarko can go wherever he wants, can't he?
Well, he can. Well,
yeah, not according to our friend up in Brisbane.
2 months ago, Rooch ridiculed me when I said
how could that ever happen?
Yeah, that's what he said, because they're arch rivals. But Clarko loves that stuff. We'll wait and see. Case, great to have you in here. You're a great friend of the show. You've helped us out a lot with basketball when it's been on, all the big events, especially the Olympics. You're off to Melbourne for the, a World Championship qualifier?
That's right, yes. The Australian Boomers are going to be playing China and Japan. Three games starting Thursday night at John Cain Arena. So this is looking, of course, to the 2023 World Championships. So,
China, where are they positioned in rankings-wise?
I was surprised when I looked today, Kimbo. They're down sort of around 19 in the world at the moment. So
surprised they're that low?
Yeah. I mean, they've been much higher, and generally speaking, are in the top 10 or around the top 10, have been for a long time. So they've slipped a little. And Japan around 38. So Australia have played two games already and won both, and they'll play both these teams. And Chinese Taipei are here as well, but they don't play the Boomers. They just play Japan and China. They have these windows where the countries get together in their groups, play games, and then move on to the next phase.
You are one of the, I've known you a long time, one of the most professional broadcasters that I've met. How do you go with all the Chinese names? You're calling a game at pace.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. Some you might look at and you think, well, I'm definitely only going with the surname there rather than the Christian name as well. But Japan's fairly straightforward. China, well, they are they can be difficult. But the FIBA organisation with basketball now, they do a great job. So they will send out a message, an audio message to all the commentators with an explanation and a pronunciation for the name. So generally speaking, you can get most of them near enough.
So how is our squad and list? Because a lot of the superstars of our team are ageing now.
That's true, yes. Interestingly, Joe Ingles is going to be there in the crowd, but won't be playing. Obviously, he's rehabbing from his injury. Yeah. But Matty Dellavedova is going to captain the team for the first time, and that's fantastic for him. Three-time Olympian, part of the bronze medal-winning team from Tokyo, and did so well in the United States in the NBA. So he's captain. Thon Maker is back in the lineup as well. He's another top 10 NBA draft pick from a few years ago. So, and then they've surrounded them with the NBL players and the quality NBL players. Mitch McCarron, the captain of the Adelaide 36ers, will be part of that. And so Australia are hot favourites to win these games, but it will give Coach Brian Goorjian a look at those fringe players. Jack White from Melbourne United, who is right on the cusp, to see if he's up to that, and certainly building toward the World Champs next year when all the big names come back.
His appointment after being away from the caper at that level for a decade or so, your thoughts on that?
This is Gorge.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it was fantastic. And the way he embraced it was fantastic as well. When they got to Las Vegas leading up to the Tokyo Olympics, he said, guys, go at it. I've been out of this for a long time. You guys have been part of it. Let me watch you the way you do it, and I will fit in with you, as opposed to trying to get them and banging them on the head and saying,
Paul,
we're doing it this way.
Paul Ruse-like.
Well, yeah, that's the way
Ruse
he does it.
Sydney,
but yeah, Gorge was that in his previous life.
Yep.
We're doing it my way. Well, he's matured with all the experience he's had internationally, and now he's a far calmer person. And I noticed that when I spoke to him when he came to Adelaide with the Illawarra Hawks when he came back into the league. And I thought, gee, Brian's changed a little bit here. Mm-hmm. And I think for the better. He's one of the best basketball coaches in the world.
Tactically
and man management. And his record stacks up with any sporting coach in Australia. And I think I've said this before. Yep. You could argue he is the best sporting coach, one of the best sporting coaches in Australian sports history. His record is at 66-67%. And, of course, now has an Olympic bronze medal next to his name. So he's done a lot.
So where's Josh Giddey in our national program now?
Josh Giddey will be at the Olympics in 2024. Hopefully the World Championships 2023. That'll depend on his NBA commitments.
So where do the rules go on that, on release of players from the big pro league?
Well, they're all available.
Unless it's up to their call, is it?
It's up to their call, which can be influenced and has in the past by NBA teams on our better players.
Is Ben Simmons going to be un-Australian or Australian?
He's going to be there in 2024. I'm confident that he will play at the Olympics. If he's fit and he is part of the team, I think he realises that it was a mistake not to go to Tokyo, not to be part of that program. Would have helped him dramatically. And I think, and again, credit to Brian Goorjian, who kept him in the loop, kept reaching out to him, And when they won the bronze medal, they rang Ben Simmons, and he spoke to Brian and others in the change room post-game, looking at the medals and saying, we did this and we need you next time.
That is brilliant.
It was.
That is a great insight. Hey, we all love a comeback in this caper. Lauren Jackson, I didn't see that coming.
Amazing, isn't it? 9 years out of the game. At the international level, and she's come back and she's playing NBL 1, WNBL 1, I should say, which is one level down from the WNBL, and she's killing it. You know,
and she's moving, be honest, in terms of her movement, I saw a little bit of footage.
Yep, no, she's fine. You know, she's got medicinal cannabis using for her knee replacement that she's had, and she's an 11th, 12th person on the roster bringing experience. I think she'll make it. I spoke to Andrew Gaze about it today. He's not so sure. He thinks that perhaps she won't get that far. I think she can.
Let's change the pace. You also call the Sandful for Channel 7, your game of the week, and our game here at SEN as well is Eagles v Norwood. How are you liking this season in the Sandful?
Absolutely fantastic, isn't it? The way that it's all panning out at the moment. Fourth against fifth, this is going to be the Eagles against Norwood. Norwood, good winners last week against Sturt. The Eagles bounced back after losing to Central District in the upset of the season to beat West. And the two coaches, the two Jades, Sheedy and Rawlings, were coach and assistant coach in the state team. They have a good rapport, a good relationship. Going to be a cracking game. And then we've got Glenelg and Adelaide second versus third as well. And I think, Rooch, you used the word mature was the decision from Glenelg, and I couldn't agree more, to allow Brett Turner to play for the Crows against his old team.
Yeah, so a big round of footy coming up there. Hey, we're live and interactive. You're a very popular man, Case. The number's 1300 736 736. We got Mark from Grange wants to have a chat to you. G'day, Mark.
G'day, guys. G'day, Case. Can you tell me, what does the 36ers need to get, like, two places up, like up to, say, the Sydney Kings? I don't know. We're always lacking every year. And sometimes we just get the wrong... We import the wrong players. What do you think we need to get that, you know, two steps better at the Adelaide 36ers?
Well, Mark, good to talk to you. I think we've got it now. They've recruited two guys, Robert Franks from Brisbane and Antonius Cleveland from the Illawarra Hawks, who was Defensive Player of the Year. With those two, they have got two of the best imports in the country. Franks was top five in scoring last year, and as I mentioned, Cleveland the best defender. And you've already got Mitch McCarron and Sunday Detch, who are two of the best Australians in the competition at the moment. And then you've got Daniel Johnson, who is 20 and 10 every night, just continues to get it done. So I can see the Adelaide 36ers definitely breaking their finals drought this coming season.
Is this CJ's team? Is this CJ's
Daniel
team?
Yep. Sorry, Mark, go again. Away you go, Mark.
Hello.
Yep, we've got you back.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, Daniel Johnson, does he take all the heavy work in that club? Honestly, he's the main man. You know, like, they should give him a statue, that poor bloke, every week, how hard he works.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's done a great job, and he has been a legend for the club and will continue to produce the goods. He's playing NBL 1 at the moment and doing a good job of it. So he's one of those players that seems to be able to continue to contribute no matter how long he's been playing. So with him there and the others that they've recruited, and this is CJ's team.
So we've had coaches who have come in and been handed a team.
Yep, the last two it's happened. So
CJ now got his fingerprint on this team, so it's now his blueprint.
Yep.
He gets to do what he wants to do with his men.
That's right. He's got the team. And also, if you saw the way they finished last NBL season, where they won three of their last four games, should have won all four, but let a big lead go in Melbourne in the penultimate game of the season. The players are with him. And he has a proven record of success. So I think now he's got the two players that he wanted, the two imports that he wanted, and those that they've surrounded him with, and those that are already there. As I say, I'm very bullish. 36 is going to play finals for the first time in 5 years.
Ooh. Oh, tell you what, I've been all in the last 2 years based on the interviews we've done with both coaches.
Yep.
And we've got our fingers singed a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. Me as well. I had them playing finals last season, but then, of course, they lose Isaac Humphreys to a season-ending knee injury after about six games, and that changed the dynamic completely.
Case, you call AFL as well, and you've seen a lot of changes, whether it be, say, of Sandful, basketball, AFL. You've travelled around the world doing your job. What would you rate the AFL this year, the way they've handled a number of rule changes and interpretations?
Oh, look, they cop it, don't they? They get.
You're the host broadcaster.
They get criticised left, right and centre. What I will say is that I'm watching games and I'm thrilled by the way, the excitement that it's providing. Gold Coast against Port, end-to-end, kicking goals. Teams running through the middle of the ground, kicking goals. Yes, they've got those issues around the rules, and the sooner they bring in the last disposal out of bounds rule, the better it will be for everyone.
Without a doubt. I told you, Reach, when you work for the station that's hosting, you're not allowed to badmouth the AFL.
No, and I like
it's an unwritten rule, but they don't. It's been a stuff up.
In which rule?
There's too many inconsistencies.
Too many inconsistencies.
You can watch one game to the next.
Just bringing in too many grey areas.
Yeah. Yep.
And the communication in terms of the dissent was an absolute joke. Yep. We all understand. We didn't know it was a big issue between players and umpires. And I don't think it was when you talk to people behind the scenes. Mm. We understand what they're trying to do, and they've got a shortfall of umpires at the lower grades, but it was poorly handled and it damaged the image of the game, and it took away the pleasure from watching the game. And then all of a sudden now they back off on it and there's not even an apology. Yeah, we got that wrong.
Yeah, I think they could have communicated it a little bit better. And yes, there were teething problems with it, but they've seen the error of their ways and now they're going to correct it. So that's all that matters. Yeah, we get there in the end.
Yeah, like you.
Tribunal just begun with Tom Stewart. You've seen the moment with Dion Prestia. If you're sitting on that tribunal, what's your verdict? Because you might as well be nearest the pin as well.
Nearest the pin as well. Starting point is 5.
I would have thought so.
5. Yeah, that seems we're getting a lot of texts. If we don't read your texts out, you're still in the draw to win that prize nearest the pin. If you've just joined us, all you have to do is predict accurately how many games Tom Stewart. We're not celebrating or dancing on his grave, but
it's a big contentious moment, isn't it? For the tribunal. Yeah.
So I've said 4, right. Rich has gone 5, and Case, you've gone 5.
I think it has to be. And, you know, look, it is so contentious because Geelong win that game. They're second on the ladder.
Yep.
Mm. Now, Richmond win that game and Prestia didn't play at all, did he? Well,
no, they're in the
Geelong eight. Are like 6th. Now, they dropped 4 spots, which could, in fact, severely influence where they start
you,
the final.
And you case Richmond sport, would be in the 8.
You cover a sport where the referee, umpire, official can say, you're going to pay a penalty immediately. So Tom Stewart would have been put in a sin bin, sent off. Big debate in the AFL. Do we need to have a send-off rule?
I think you don't. You need to have. You could use it. It could be useful. But the way that it's framed, obviously, is going to create too many variables with it. So some sports it's useful for and some sports it's not. I'm not sure it fits the AFL. And certainly in basketball, sometimes they get it wrong as well. We had an incident, shall we say, opening game of the season, and Nathan Sobey, Australian Olympian, was ejected from the game won in Tasmania in overtime because he had an indiscretion earlier in the game where he delayed the game, he flopped. You get an unsportsmanlike call. They're trying to stamp that out. Yep. And then in overtime, he turns to the referee and says something he shouldn't have said.
Yep.
That's his second. And if you get 2, you're out.
Right.
So it changed the dynamic of the game completely. So I think it would create as many problems as it's going to solve.
Exactly. I think the only way you could entertain it, it can't happen when it's part of a football action or contest. And this was part of the play, even though the execution was poor. It can't happen for a Harris Andrews, Jeremy Finlayson type situation.
Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, sorry. It can only happen, I believe.
Off the ball, way back.
Brent Stoker, Barry Hall type
Franklin
scenario.
Franklin Cotchin?
Rooch, it was just a push.
Yeah,
I'm
talking about incidents that are not in the play.
That's where you're getting line ball. I think it can only be where it's just crystal clear. Now, you see Barry Hall go back and he king hits someone, well, then you're out.
Yeah.
That is simple. That is black and white. If you start going down the ground, the area that you are, that line, I think it gets very grey. Case, great to chat with you. Hopefully we've got a big announcement coming up in a week or two.
Fingers crossed.
All right, we've got to go to a break. That's John Casey from Channel 7.